reports on Fox. The federal government saying first-time requests for jobless benefits were down by 8,000 last week from the week before. This is USA Radio News.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in-store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
GEICO applauds your inner ride leader.
An enthusiastic engine rev goes out to the biker in you who leads the pack. Even if that pack is a party of one, you're still a leader to GEICO. To prove it, GEICO will insure your motorcycle with great rates and 24/7 customer service. And with GEICO by your side, you're never cruising solo, which means you've just been nominated as a real ride leader. Congrats. The smell of fine leather and trailblazing is in your future.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
A United Nations aid official with a plea for the Syrian president.
President Assad, do your bit to enable us to get to eastern Aleppo and also the other besieged areas.
Syrian forces believed to have staged an airstrike a few days ago that targeted an aid convoy and killed a dozen aid workers. Republican Senator John McCain slamming the Obama administration's overall Middle East policy, including in Syria, opening a hearing. The Republican called it an unmitigated disaster, although Defense Chief Ash Carter and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs were there to defend the strategy during that hearing of the Senate Armed Services Panel. Reports are an ugly incident last week is what led to actress Angelina Jolie filing for divorce from her actor husband Brad Pitt.
Los Angeles authorities are investigating Brad Pitt for allegedly being verbally abusive and getting physical with one of his and Angelina Jolie's children. TMZ and People Magazine report the alleged incident happened on the couple's private plane last week and that Pitt had been drinking.
That's Sarah Jacobs. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
One state is proposing some changes to the controversial Common Core standards in schools, but as Ethan Harp reports, both backers and critics in New York believe these changes are mostly just cosmetic.
Newsday says the overhaul may mean little more than changing Common Core's name and tweaking some wording. Backers expect English language arts and math requirements to pretty much stay the same. But New York State Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Elia says while standards will remain rigorous, the differences would be real.
With the English language arts standards, more than 60% of those standards had changes. And with the mathematics, more than 55%. So it isn't just tinkering around the edges.
But parents who led an opt-out movement from student testing are skeptical as well. Ethan Harp, NBC News Radio, New York.
As the candidates head for their first presidential debate soon, Hillary Clinton has a bit of a lead going into it, according to a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, which shows the Democratic presidential nominee with a 6-point advantage over her Republican rival, Donald Trump. Clinton earning 43% support as compared to Trump's 37%. New York City's police department ramping up security for the upcoming Jewish High Holy Days as the chief of the critical response team, Scott Shanley, says the department will have a lot of eyes on synagogues and Jewish institutions.
Roving teams that will visit multiple locations periodically throughout the holiday season.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be answering the question a woman asked me the other night about why I shouldn't spend money on marketing the borough of Flemington. I'll discuss the pros and cons of taking on a business partner. I'll tell you the three most motivational words ever spoken. I'll have tips on how to get PR for your small business, and I'll discuss how long it actually takes to sell a small business. It's Thursday, September 22nd, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But as always, we get started with the weather. A brief check of the weather shows it's currently 80 degrees at 12:05, and today we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 84 degrees and a low of 51. For tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny and warm with a high of 86 and a low of 62. For Saturday, we're going to have partly sunny skies and not as warm with a high of 75 and a low of 62. Sunday, it'll be sunny and cooler with a high of 71 and a low of 47 degrees. And a current check of the financial markets shows that all indices are up at this time. The Dow is up 116.90 to 18,410.60. The NASDAQ up 33.18 to 5328.59. S&P 500 up 11.51 to 2174.63. Oil climbing up to 41 cents to $43.85 per barrel. And gold up $13.60 to $1,345 per ounce. Facebook viewers, you are up to date. Now it's time to listen to the rest of the show live at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Well, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome once again to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. I'm your host every week at this time, getting together as we do to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. There's a whole lot going on. As we do every week, when it's in season, I like to talk about my favorite television show, and that is The Prophet on CNBC. It airs every Tuesday at 10 p.m. And I think that if you own a business, you owe it to yourself to be watching this show, because so many things can be learned from just watching other businesses. That's why I like watching shows like Shark Tank and Undercover Boss and things like that, because it's almost like you're the fly on the wall. So this week, Marcus Lemonis, the host of the show, was featuring a business called Honest Foods based out of Chicago, and this is a catering company. It was a good company, but it had a couple of pitfalls. We have an owner here who was very controlling, and when Marcus started asking him, like, who's in charge of this, who's in charge of that, it really came to like 95% the owner took control of all of that, instead of just letting the employees do their jobs or delegating more of their work or more responsibility to them. And then there came a time that one thing that I saw that was pretty telling was that 80% of this catering business was for the entertainment industry, the movie industry that is very active in Chicago. But let's say the movies go on hiatus for 2 or 3 weeks. You're out of business, you know, for 3 weeks. So obviously it was time to diversify a little bit more. And one of the ways that Marcus did that was by having this gentleman buy two food trucks. And then there's a place, I think it's on Wacker Drive, where it's kind of like the food truck alley, and they all line up and then people can pick what they want. But Marcus got a couple of the owners of the food trucks talking. One food truck owner does $600,000 a year. Another one, which was a specialty type food, Mediterranean, did $380,000 a year. And so he was trying to prove the point to this gentleman that your kitchen can still be working and making you money even if you don't have catering gigs going on. So it was a very interesting show. As always, this time Marcus did invest in the company and stayed with it. A couple episodes ago he walked away from a deal. But I think that this one will work. It looked like the owner was willing to change his ways, so hopefully this will work out. But I definitely did like this particular episode. What I really like doing during the show is live tweeting with Marcus and with other viewers about what we think is going on. And that brought to me a topic that I had put out there earlier in the week, and in the show we're going to talk about it after the break, but about marketing and how much you should spend on it, how much should you care about it, things like that. So I'm going to get into that shortly after the break, so I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But right now I was at a meeting the other night of the Flemington Community Partnership, and a gentleman got up and he said, you do it right in your store. It's about the customer service, the customer relationship. So I think I've been holding on to this story for about 6 weeks, but I think now would be a good time to go over it since that's so fresh in my mind. And it's remember the movie Jerry Maguire when the girl tells Tom Cruise, you had me at hello. Well, it's the same thing in business. And here are 5 tips to start new customer relationships off right. Now, as the old saying goes, you only get one chance to make a good first impression, and email marketing is no exception. The first email a new subscriber receives can make or break your relationship with a customer. Strike a good first impression with the latest addition to your subscriber base, and you'll be off to a great start for a happy, healthy relationship. The same holds true when a person walks into your business, your showroom, your reception area. Now, there are several tactics that email marketers can use to start things off right with their readers. So if you follow these best practices for onboarding new subscribers to keep customers opted in and reading regularly, hopefully you'll have success with your email marketing programs. First of all, there's no time like the present. Now, when consumers first interact with your brand, engage quickly to keep your brand top of mind. And remember that term for the next story after the break. You want to keep your brand top of mind while it's fresh in their memories. The ideal timing to send your initial message is immediately. Whether a consumer makes a purchase, subscribes to your newsletter, or engages with social media content, target that individual with an email message as soon as possible to increase the likelihood of a second interaction. And if you've done any reading or studying up on the sales cycle, you know that it takes about 6 touches before a person's ready to buy. You also want to cite your source. Customize your first email with content based on the referral source for your new subscriber. If a customer opted into your newsletter from visiting your website, simply include basic information about your company. If your customer made a purchase, use your first message as an opportunity to reference this and extend relevant offers based on the product purchase. If the opt-in channel was social media, make your first message image-based and light on text content to mimic the experience on social media platforms. You want to lay the groundwork for long-term loyalty. Marketers must be increasingly focused on giving consumers exactly what they want in order to generate lifelong brand loyalty. Now, how can you make sure that your email marketing campaign provides your customers with the content and offers that you're looking for? Just ask. You also want to set expectations early by letting new subscribers know what type of content they will receive and how frequently they will hear from you. Ask what type of content they are interested in receiving, how often they want to receive your emails, and whether they would like to opt out or opt down. Even if your subscribers opt to reduce the number of frequency of emails they receive, this step will help ensure that the content they receive is relevant and most likely to garner future engagement. You also want to make it personal. Use data you've compiled about your customers to personalize your email messages as much as possible. Leverage purchase information from your e-commerce site or POS system to share targeted product offers. For example, if a customer purchased a dress, send an offer highlighting the matching handbag or pair of shoes to entice another purchase. Include as much data as you can to increase your message's relevance and drive high open, read, and click-through rates. And you want to roll out the welcome mat. Once your customers have taken the first step to opt into your emails, use an onboarding series to guide them down a path towards a long-term relationship with your brand. Send a trail of messages that highlight products and offers that are most relevant based on their interests and purchases. Tailor your welcome series to reflect the referral source, whether it's website browsing, a purchase, or social media. If you've used an intelligent workflow tool in the past, use this to power your onboarding series and target your customers with more or fewer emails based on their actions or inactions. First impressions count, especially in email marketing, so steadily build mutually beneficial relationships starting with the very first interaction. Start new subscriber relationships off right by engaging immediately, referencing a referral source, setting expectations, using personalization, and building an onboarding campaign. Keep these tips in mind for customer loyalty that will last you a lifetime. As promised, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a question I was asked by a woman the other night about marketing the town of Flemington and my response to her. And let me know whether you think I got it right or got it wrong. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Huntington is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Huntington County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, with you for about the next 45 minutes as we continue to talk about issues affecting business here in New Jersey. I also want to talk about an issue that affects a lot of people here, both in New Jersey and around the world, and that is Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's New Jersey is asking you to join the walk to fight Alzheimer's on Sunday, October 9th, 2016, at Princeton ETS. Registration's at 8:30 in the morning, kickoff rally at 9:30 a.m., and the walk will begin at 10 a.m. You can register for the walk at www.alznj.org/walk. You can enjoy a fun-filled day of music and laughter while raising funds for New Jersey individuals and families affected by Alzheimer's disease. Now, 100% of all funds raised at the Walk to Fight Alzheimer's stay in New Jersey and support New Jersey individuals and families. For more information about Alzheimer's New Jersey and the Walk to Fight Alzheimer's, call 888-280-6055. Great organization and great work they're doing there. All right, so the other night there was a meeting at Coco's Cafe. It was a chance, a quarterly meeting, a chance for the members of the board of the Flemington Community Partnership to kind of report where they've been, where they are, and where they're going. And I'm the marketing chair of the Flemington Community Partnership, along with being the vice chairman of the group. And I went through my pitch on marketing and what the approach was going to be and how we were going to try to get more attention focused on Flemington. Now, when I was a member of the original Flemington Business Improvement Board and was on the marketing committee, I couldn't get that committee to get outside of the donut hole that is Flemington. And what I mean by that is very simple. We kept marketing ourselves locally to Flemington. We would market in the Hunterdon County Democrat, but we really wouldn't spread our wings and go further. And what I'm looking to do is bring people in from 20, 30, 40 miles away to Flemington. And so at the end of the meeting, when I mentioned in my pitch that I was that we were going to market the town on a local, we'll continue to market on a local basis, keep the local residents and businesses informed, on a regional basis, which there I kind of meant Eastern Pennsylvania, New York City, Philadelphia, and New Jersey, and then on a national basis. Hey, if we got lucky enough to get an ad or an article in USA Today or the New York Times, I will take all of the public relations I can definitely get. So after the meeting, a woman asked if she could speak to me outside. And I said, sure. So we go outside, and she says, I really need to ask you something. I need you not to spend a lot of money on marketing. This can all be done through social media. And part of it can be done through social media, I told her, but you still have to have that other component, the traditional methods. There are still people who read newspapers. There are still people who drive down the highway and look at billboards. There are people that listen to radio programs on terrestrial radio and would hear a commercial. We could also produce a commercial and put it on the local cable channels. So there's still ways, many, many, many ways that we can promote Flemington. But we have to do something. We've done nothing for 7 years and beyond, and look where that's gotten us. But she kept telling me about how we can do it all for free on social media. So I got to thinking about that. After I kind of re-explained my point, she agreed with me, and she said, you know, just if you can, incorporate both, but really you want to focus on social media. Here's my interpretation of social media. Russ, if you're listening, feel free to text me if I get anything wrong here. Let's use Facebook as an example. The message that you post is typically seen by the people who like you or follow you or something like that. It's not about if I post, hey, the Flemington Filling Station is open tonight and it's going to be a great deal. Come on out. We're giving away $100 bills. The only people who will see that are the people that already like the Flemington Community Partnership page. Or sometimes they might see it in someone else's news feed and say, well, that's interesting. But I can't get a broad reach that way. And really, the people that I'm pitching to at that point already know what we're doing. So what I tell people is I want to take a look at our territory from like a 40,000-foot view, if you will. So when we go up in that hot air balloon or airplane, look down and look at all the people you don't know. All those rooftops, houses, warehouses, businesses, et cetera, shopping malls, are people who still don't know you and who you don't know. And so with a combination of social media and regular media, and that could be print, video, et cetera, I think we can combine our efforts and generate more interest. Yes, I could buy, I could boost a page and get more views, but that's also going to cost money. And now all of a sudden your social media argument isn't free anymore. But I think I get a broader reach when I go with traditional marketing formulas in addition to the social. What I'm trying to create is not so much, and I explained this the other night, I'm not trying to create a situation where we say, come shop Flemington, and suddenly, you know, planes are landing, you know, in farm fields and buses are pulling up and people are running down the highways, abandoning their cars to come to Flemington, although that would be nice. What I'm trying to do is create a front of mind presence. If we keep telling people there's things going on in Flemington, you can shop here, you can dine here, you can just kind of hang out, you can enjoy the history, you can look at the architecture, you can visit, you can play in Flemington. This is the type of marketing I'm talking about doing, letting people know what's here. And for the 7 years prior, what I was told was the town isn't ready for marketing yet. And people would cite there was a rusty flagpole at the post office. They would cite the Heinlein Garage, which is now the site of the filling station and the patio park. They would talk about houses that really could use a fresh coat of paint, you know, hadn't cut the lawn in a while. Maybe there was a broken window up on the second or third floor. No town in America, other than maybe on Main Street USA and Disney, is perfect. And that one's fake. There is no town in America that is perfect. So we can't wait any longer not to market this town. We've basically skipped an entire generation by waiting as long as we have. Think back now. We all talk about how the borough used to be the place where people would go. Bus trips from New York City used to bring people by the busload to shop at Liberty Village and the outlets. And now they don't come, and they haven't come for 20 to 25 years. So what's happened is the mom who used to bring her toddler to Flemington and would do shopping suddenly stopped coming, and that toddler never came back. We lost an entire generation of people, and we have to get them back. But now those toddlers are 25 years old, and that's our target market, getting the millennials, getting the young people to come back and discover this town. Is it a town where they might like to buy property? Is it a town where they might like to open a business? Is it a town where they would like to come and visit our restaurants? That's what we have to do. And the cool thing about the demographic is, as we've seen at the filling station, it's not limited to just 25-year-olds. We can market to 40, 50, 60-year-olds, but we have to do something. We have to market something. And like I said, we're going to take that local, regional, and national approach. We can't wait any longer. Yes, it's going to cost money, but we have to create that front-of-mind presence for people to say, yes, Flemington is open for business. Yes, Flemington does have great restaurants. Come visit. Come stay. Come dine. And come shop with us. And I think what you'll see, and again, when we talk about anything related to improving this town, Flemington Community Partnership, Flemington Business Improvement, we have to have some patience. And I know it's been a long time, but it's not something that you snap your fingers and fix. This takes time. Image building, brand building, it will take a few years. And once it clicks, you're going to see everybody likes to cite Somerville and Doylestown and New Hope and Lambertville and Clinton. I lived through all of those rebirths. It took time. Somerville didn't happen overnight. It took 20 to 25 years. Westfield took 20 years. So it's going to take a little while, but we will get it done. We just have to all work together to make sure that we're all marketing the town in a positive way. And I mentioned that the other night, too, and I got a lot of heads, you know, bobbing up and down about, you know, when I said we've got to stop talking negatively about this town. When a customer comes into your business, the last thing you want to do is, you know, when they say, how's business or what's it like to do business in a town? Last thing you want to do is trash the town that you're working in, because, you know, if you tell them that your business is doing horribly, then chances are they're not coming back because they don't think you're going to be there in 6 months. So, again, when talking about this town and why people should come here and do business here, we've got to talk positively and productively. So hopefully we can all start doing that as well. All right. Google's 3-pack is making local listings more important than ever. Now, when a typical customer searches for a local business on Google, they might even notice the subtle but constant tweaks that search engine results undergo over time. Now, yet it is essential for small business owners to closely follow these updates. Even small changes to search results pages can make a big difference in your visibility. For instance, last fall, Google truncated its layout for desktop searches from a 7-pack of featured local business listings to a 3-pack, partly to better align the desktop view with the mobile user experience. What's more, there are indications that soon this layout will be further shaved down to just 2 local business listings. In other words, if you ranked 4th in a local search in the past, your listing would appear on the first page of Google's local pack results. Now you won't, making your business that much more difficult to find. Now, if you let these changes slide by unnoticed, this could mean a major drop in web traffic and calls from new customers. If you rely on local search to get leads, and most small businesses do, it's essential that your business is one of the top results. To maintain your business's visibility and its place in organic search results, it's more important than ever to claim and correct all your business listing info in online directories. Here's why. Claiming and updating all your business listings is an important part of search engine optimization, or as it's commonly referred to, SEO, which in turn maximizes your position and results even in the face of unexpected changes. Even a business that manages to be featured in Google's local 3-pack won't win many new customers if your hours of operation or phone number are out of date or missing. Maintaining your online business listings is a small time investment with no advanced tech knowledge required in exchange for a potentially huge ROI. So again, it's the 3-pack possibly going down to a 2-pack. So you've got to do everything you can. I think last week I did a story about all the different listings, Google, Yahoo, Manta, Yext, Yelp, etc. You have to claim those listings and make sure they're up to date, and it is time consuming. There are hundreds of these sites, but pick the top 30 that come up and get out there and start claiming your sites and get the right information out there, especially about hours of operation and what you do. A good summary can tell people, this is the business that I want to be doing business with. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about so many more issues affecting your business. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
No justice for peace! No justice for peace!
But there was neither justice nor peace in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina last night, where for a second straight night, protests turned violent after a police-involved shooting in that city on Tuesday. Now North Carolina's governor has declared a state of emergency. Pat McCrory saying he'll deploy the National Guard and State Highway Patrol to help the cops in Charlotte. Last night, police say a civilian shot another civilian in the midst of that chaos, and this woman saw the victim.
He was laying there in front of the Omni, and there was blood. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's dead.
Police say the victim of that shooting is now on life support. Protests began after a black police officer shot and killed a black man on Tuesday, saying he refused to put down a gun he was holding. The 43-year-old man's family insists it wasn't a gun, but a book he had in his hands. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever come home from work to find out that the power's out? You reach the power company and they inform you that it'll be out for another 8 hours. Panic sets in. You've been told to prepare for this before. Bottled water, radio, flashlight, easy to prepare meals. And for the next 8 hours, everyone is on edge. No AC, no TV, no hot dinner tonight. What will happen to your family if this same situation were to last 2 days, a week, or even a month? This is Colonel Rusty Humphreys to tell you about Heaven's Harvest. Heaven's Harvest has long-term storable food and water products that will ensure your family's well-being through any man-made or natural disaster. Don't wait for the power to go out. Go to HeavensHarvest.com and secure your family's well-being today. That's HeavensHarvest.com or call 800-516-4773. Again, 800-516-4773. HeavensHarvest.com. Use promo Rusty and receive free shipping. HeavensHarvest.com. That's HeavensHarvest.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy, here with you. Taking a quick look at the weather today, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 84 degrees and a low of 51, currently 80 degrees in the borough of Flemington. For tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny and warm with a high of 86 degrees and a low of 62. For Saturday, we're going to have partly sunny skies and not as warm temperatures with a high of 75 degrees and a low of 62. And for Sunday, it'll be sunny and cooler with a high of 71 and a low of 47. So get out there and enjoy yourself because you know winter is coming. Speaking of something else coming, Election Day, 47 days away. Well, a lot of people have been texting me and questioning me on the teaser that I had about the most motivational statement ever, and it only is last three words. And they were like, what could that be? Some were giving their own suggestions. But it was something that was kind of eye-opening to me and threw me back 36 years ago. I remember I was sitting in a lecture in the Carlson Hall of Science on the campus of Salem College in Salem, West Virginia. And there was a kind of a forensic competition going on. And this is where people would get up and have to make some declarative statement and then back it up. Now, I knew one of the young ladies who was performing in this, and she did a great job. But the next guy, and I actually had to look him up in the yearbook. His name was Bill Berg, and he looked at the audience. He walked out. He was in a suit and tie, and he walked out, and he just looked at all of us in the eye, and he said, "You're going to die." And I was just thrown back by that, because at 18, 19 years old, you don't really think about that. The most motivational statement comes down to just those three words: "You're going to die." Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm being practical. You get one life and one chance to make yourself happy. So instead of sitting and complaining about not pursuing the things you want in life, do something about it. Too many people focus on other people's happiness when they should be focusing on their own. You know why I like making other people happy and motivating them to succeed? Because I'm already happy. It might sound selfish, but the first person you need to make happy is you. Then you can make other people happy. Now, a lot of people ask me all the time, why do you get involved in so many different things? You're on different boards, you're on, you know, different committees and things like that. Why do you do all that? And I've come up with the answer. It's my canned response of, I don't want to be 80 years old sitting on the front porch of the nursing home and doing a coulda, shoulda, woulda thing. You know, where I look back and I say, I should have done a radio show every Thursday at noon. I should have been on the board of the FCP. I should have been this. I should have been that. You know, I could have made a difference here. I could have. Who wants that kind of regret at 80 years old? So, and then Tim McGraw had the song a few years ago, Live Like You Were Dying, where basically when you boil it all down, it's like squeeze everything you can into every day. I always get kind of upset with people when I hear that their routine is I wake up, I have breakfast, I go to work, I come home, I have dinner, I watch Dance with the Stars, I go to bed, and then tomorrow I wake up, I have breakfast, I go to work. It's just a pretty mundane routine. So, and that's just the way I'm wired. I want to be involved. I'll say yes to everything. It drives my wife nuts, but that's the way I work. So I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself and ask if the things you are doing will put you in a position to succeed, not just in the business world, but in life. When you're happy in life, you realize that that how you make your money is much more important than how much money you make. I knew I typed that wrong last night. So when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time with older people, people in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. And I would ask each one of them to tell me about their life. Now, they all started with these two words, I wish. Now, some wish that they had worked harder. Some wish that they had spent more time with loved ones. And some wish that they did what they wanted to do instead of listening to their parents. They wished, they wished, they wished. Now, if there's one thing I learned hanging out with those folks, it's this. There's no better time to act than now. So if you're in your early 20s, this is your time. This is your moment. This is not the time to try to be practical and maximize your money so you can buy something flashy like a fancy car right out of school. This is the time to realize that you have a 5-year window, give or take, for you to attack the life that you want to win. You can travel with buddies and experience the world, start a band to hone your talents, or start networking while you're still living in an apartment with 8 other people. Since most of you have no major life commitments, this is the time to take the chance on the life you want to create. Now, even if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, or older, there's still time to make yourself happy. If you want it that badly, you can get it. Instead of retiring and taking up golf, maybe it's time to double down and really focus on what you want. The only person standing in your way is you. We live in a world today where there is so much opportunity available to us, especially with the internet. It gives us access to more ways to pursue the things that we care about the most. The bottom line is, like my friend said back in college, we're all going to die someday. No matter your age, you have the time to make yourself happy. We never had more opportunities open to us than we do right now to create the life that we want. I was compelled to write this post because it's a reaction to what I've been observing over the past couple of years. There's this tendency people have to pass over opportunities when they think they'll come back to it later. People are living their lives like they have unlimited time, and we all know that's not true. Now, if I can get just one person to change their behavior, have that one conversation, or take that one chance, I'll be glad, because at the end of the day, you only get one at bat. You're going to die should motivate you every morning to get out there and get what you want done. You get one life, one chance. The biggest poison we encounter as humans is regret. So stop making excuses and start making yourself happy. It's 12:38. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Interesting story that came up the other day is how long it actually takes to sell a small business. Now, the reason I was looking at this, and I'm not selling my business, but at some point, and there's other Crown Trophy stores and other businesses that I work with where the owners are looking at that transition, that succession period right now. And whether it's going to be to a family member or to sell to someone else, it takes time. It's a process. Now, why small business owners should be realistic about the time needed to exit a business is because you can't just say, my business is for sale. Somebody says, I'm interested, and you think that's going to be it. And a week later, you're sitting on the beach. Final sale prices of small businesses for sale are influenced by a variety of factors, including revenue, business category, location, cash flow multiples, and asking price. Now, though these factors are essential to keeping a pulse on small business sales, another often overlooked indicator speaks to fundamental market condition. Days on the market, or the length of time a business listing is on the market, is an underrated, helpful way to track the market and determine demand among buyers and expectations of sellers. In fact, BizBuySell's recent Q2 Insight report of small businesses sold from 2007 and 2016 reaffirms that business sale times can indicate larger economic changes. Additionally, days on market can effectively track the overall velocity of the small business for sale marketplace. Days on market has evolved through the years. Fresh out of the recession in 2012, the duration to sell a small business spiked upwards by 22% to, get this, 200 days. According to BizBuySell's days on market data, as the economy improved, time on the market began to decrease as both buyers and sellers made moves more quickly. After 10 consecutive quarters of faster sales cycles, days on market finally increased in Q4 2014 following the rise of median asking prices. Last quarter, the median days on market was 188 days, up from a record low of 154 days in Q4 of 2014. As economic growth accelerates, so does business buyers' personal finances and investment opportunities. In an environment with more relaxed lending policies, plenty of financing options, and a stable stock market, more buyers have the capital needed to buy a business. Though the state of small business transactions looks promising, sellers still need to be realistic when it comes to the timeline for selling. Setting practical expectations and timelines will help you do this. Small business owners often exhibit a great sense of urgency to close a deal once they've made the decision to sell. But as the BizBuySell data points out, the process of selling a business typically takes at least 6 months, a timeline that most owners don't anticipate. In fact, a separate BizBuySell survey on the selling process found that nearly half, or 44% of owners, believe the entire sales process would be finalized in less than 5 months. However, brokers generally don't agree with that timeline. 54% of brokers said sellers should set their expectations for days on market in the range of between 6 and 11 months. Now, though luck and good timing can lead to a faster closing, accelerating the purchase usually isn't possible. That's why it's critical for sellers to be prepared for a lengthy process before even putting their business on the market. Here are some steps small business sellers should take to craft an appropriate timeline. Ensure that the business is ready for prospective buyers. To facilitate a smooth selling process, sellers should ensure qualities like a descriptive listing and gather at least 3 years of detailed, verifiable financial statements to show credibility. These documents should include an income statement, cash flow statement, balance sheet, and the seller's discretionary income. Don't forget about the curb appeal of your business. Prospective buyers often base their first impression of the business on its physical appearance. Even simple improvements like a fresh coat of paint, improved landscaping, or new shelving purchases can dramatically improve a business's appearance and attract buyers who are looking to avoid tedious physical improvements. If necessary, consult an experienced broker or M&A advisory firm. Seeking help from a broker or M&A early on can potentially speed up the time to sell and take some pressure off the seller's shoulders. Identifying a broker or M&A firm generally takes 1 to 2 weeks. You also want to establish your desired sale price. Sellers can work with a professional appraiser or business broker to discuss the current market specific to their industry and set a realistic valuation for the business. Completing this valuation can take up to 2 to 3 weeks. Online valuation tools and various valuation methods can also help get a ballpark estimate of your business's worth. Then you want to prepare for the listing. During these 4 to 6 weeks, sellers or their advisor should develop a list of prospective buyers and compile all business sale information, including public listing content, as well as confidential information to include, in a selling memo for buyers who have signed a non-disclosure agreement. Focus on your marketing efforts. The time to sell largely depends on the current market. For this reason, marketing can take anywhere from 1 month to a year or longer, so use that time to enhance and promote your listing. You also want to be alert during the negotiations. Depending on how many serious buyers there are, this stage could take up to 4 weeks, and that's why sellers and their employees need to make themselves available to complete the sale. Carve 2 to 3 months into timeline for closing. Since no deal is official until paperwork has been filed and signed, sellers should avoid common issues with compliance and necessary financing. Since these steps may differ from business to business, it's important to lay out a plan of action that aligns with your unique needs and desired outcome. Selling a business can be stressful and time-consuming, but a solid strategy can ensure a successful sales process. So if you're thinking of selling your business, and maybe not today, but you're thinking in 5 or 10 years, keep those tips in mind as far as A, knowing how long the process will take, and then B, always making sure that all your ducks are in a row so that when it comes time to sell, it's easier to present to the prospective buyer. When we come back, we're going to talk about some tips for public relations for small businesses. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us, as we do every week at this time on Thursdays at noon, for another episode of Taking Care of Business. Don't forget, this afternoon around 4 p.m., Teachable Moments in Business. So more business talk for you here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Well, here's a couple of PR tips for small businesses. And one of the things that a lot of people tell me, in every small business, it doesn't matter what industry or anything else is, they either don't know how to write a good press release, they don't know what to say, they don't know who to send it to, and so rather than try, they give up. And as a result, even though they may be having the greatest product, greatest sale, or something else, it gets overlooked because they're not getting the public relations and the media coverage that they need. Now, landing media coverage can be a real challenge for small companies. Phone calls, emails, tweets, follow-up calls, a journalist can only digest a very small proportion of the messages they receive. But cutting through this noise is the aim of many small businesses as they attempt to draw attention to new products, services, and company updates. So how should a smaller enterprise go about trying to get press attention? Now, when it comes to press releases, think about who you're pitching to, the newspaper editor. Journalists' inboxes are flooded with email pitches every day, often for stories that don't relate to their beat or publication. So you want to make sure that you're getting in touch with the right person and understand their outlet. And it's very simple to do. Very often when you go on, let's say, thecouriernews.com or mycentraljersey.com, it will tell you, this person is the business editor, this person is the sports editor. So make sure that you're sending it to the right person. The reality is that you have about four lines to pique their interest, and if you spend that time not getting to the point of your story, you would have lost them. Once you've got them hooked, don't tell your story across reams of emails. A page of text is plenty. Remember that journalists like you are often on the move, so they may be reading your release on their mobile device. Finally, don't force a story to tie in with a national or global event. It almost always sounds as if it has been. Bed companies don't need to be celebrating National Sandwich Week. Translate your self-belief and business ambitions into punchy statements backed up with real evidence. The best businesses succeed by having the self-belief and fearless vision to take managed risk. In other words, if you make a mistake, it doesn't hurt you or the business, and it's the best way to learn. It's easy to excite and convince a potential customer or investor face-to-face, but translating that drive, energy, and confidence in a written press release can be much harder. Keep it simple, refreshing, and to the point. If you get this right, journalists will write and readers will engage with you and talk about you. How can you do this? Have fun with your language and reflect your brand's energy in the pace of the release. Be original and fearless with claims, but always back them up with real evidence. Stay away from unrealistic cliches such as groundbreaking or world first. Save them for the cure for cancer. You also want to be persistent and prove your business has expertise. What is your company's specialty? What expertise do you have within your team? Demonstrating both expertise and an ability to communicate clearly through a well-written blog on your site with a topical angle and strong message can be an effective way to impress a journalist. Analyze your team. Who's got the know-how and might be able to convey ideas well to your sector? Choose someone, encourage them to write a piece, and then signpost journalists to it. Then they can see at a glance that your company has already written on an issue and has pertinent comments and insights to offer. It also helps to begin your approach by following journalists on Twitter to get a sense of what interests them. Then start talking to them about it and be persistent. Building relationships with journalists can take months or even years. You want to choose a timely moment to launch a product, and remember, deadlines really are deadlines. Most small to medium enterprises find competing for press coverage against big household brands very daunting, but it doesn't have to be. The key is to be genuine and different. Think about your USP, the unique selling point, and use it to share creative, original ideas. So if you're launching a new product, don't just launch it. Tie it in with something topical and crucially relevant. Go for something seasonal or cyclical rather than a particular news story. A recent example could be if a product had a clear connection to the new school year, such as an education gadget. A new app that helps boost work-life balance could tie in with hashtag back to work trending on Twitter this month. Most importantly, if the media is then interested, remember to be responsive. Having worked as a journalist in the past, I fully understand their deadlines are real and must be met. Nothing quite like getting back to the newsroom at 11 o'clock at night and being told you have 1 hour to file your story. Another thing you can do, a lot of times people just send bullet points of information, hoping that the journalist or the editor will call them. Think like if you read newspapers, think about how the typical story is structured and then write that way. Write the whole article for them. I can't tell you how many times I've submitted press releases to newspapers, same story, but submitted it multi times and seen it print exactly word for word the way I sent it. And very few of them ever call to verify or fact check. So make sure that you're getting all the information out there that you want. How about this topic? Negative keywords. What should you know about negative keywords? Now, negativity by and large is discouraged. You know, as they always say, turn that frown upside down. However, being negative comes in handy when you're gearing up your keyword game for SEO or SEM. If you're a seller of hand-painted wine glasses and you use glasses as a keyword, you could end up in the search results of people that are looking for sunglasses or eyeglasses and so on. But if you're paying for a search engine marketing campaign, These are wasted and potentially expensive clicks. So you should eliminate any words that don't pertain to what you're marketing by designating them as negative in your SEM campaigns. Also consider what specific type of wine glasses people search for. Is it crystal? Is it stemless? Is it red or white? If you only paint on stemmed white wine glasses, make crystal, stemless, and red negative keywords. Here's why it pays to consider keywords negative counterparts. It maximizes your return on investment. You'll avoid targeting the wrong audience, wine drinkers versus nearsighted folks, and you won't pay for impressions that won't lead to a sale. Allowing a little negativity to seep into your keywords will ultimately leave a smile on your face when you don't waste your clicks with your cash. So some good tips there on negative keywords. And, you know, I know earlier I said keep it positive, but there are times when, you know, you have to look at when is a good time to take on that negative approach. I'm going to save this next story for next week, the pros and cons of taking on a business partner, because I think it's important. And there are times when you can take on a business partner and everything seems rosy. And typically you find 6 months to a year later, it's not as good as it was. And the money can't buy happiness in that instance. So you want to make sure that, you know, when you get into those arrangements, you're getting in there with the right person and that both parties are being taken care of in the long run. You don't want to get shorted, you know, 6 months to a year down the road and find all of a sudden that they're buying you out or kicking you out or something like that. I want to make mention that this weekend is the final weekend of the Flemington Filling Station, brought to you by the Flemington Community Partnership. So Friday night and Saturday night will be your last chance to get together, enjoy some beer, enjoy some food, enjoy some wine, and get together with good friends. The weather is starting to turn just a little bit chillier, and this will be the last weekend that the filling station will be open. So mark your calendars and get out there from 5 to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday nights so that you can enjoy the filling station, because it's going to be a long winter while we think about when the filling station will open next year. Here's a heads up. It looks like the schedule for next year so far, tentatively, will be Friday nights from Memorial Day through Labor Day, as the FCP has looked into the results of the filling station. It looks like Friday night was the busy night. Everybody was coming home from work. They said, meet me there. We'll grab some food. We'll grab a beer and then maybe go somewhere else later. But at least they were, you know, that was where they seemed to have the most impact. So we're going to try to change it up a little bit next year and hopefully get a good result as well. What else is going on? Sometimes too much. Don't forget the walk to fight Alzheimer's is coming up on Sunday, October 9th. And that's going to be at the Princeton ETS. You can register for the walk at www.alznj.org/walk. A great way for you to have some fun. Get out there and walk and help raise money that will benefit the families and the people affected by Alzheimer's. Also, don't forget that at any time, if you have questions, concerns, or thoughts of upcoming programming topics, feel free to send me an email or something like that. Let me know what you're thinking so that we can do the research on that topic and you know, bring that to you. So we want to make sure that we're bringing you as much information as possible that you have an interest in. And currently it is 12:57. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm laughing at myself because I just lost the first page of my sports report. But here it is. All right, here we go. In sports, in NASCAR, Martin Truex Jr. won the first race of the Chase for the Sprint Cup last week in Chicagoland and locks himself into the round of 12. This week, the teams head to New Hampshire for the New England 300 this Sunday at 2:15 p.m. The NCAA football heads into week number 4, and many ranked teams lost last week, which shook up the AP top 10. This week, Alabama leads the poll in the number 1 spot, followed by Ohio State, Louisville, Michigan, and Clemson. Houston, Stanford, Michigan State, Washington, and Texas A&M round out the top 10. NFL Week 3 kicks off tonight with the Houston Texans taking on the New England Patriots. Game time is at 8:25 p.m. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is winding down, and now is the time we start talking about the wild card races. The Red Sox, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National. In the wild card hunt, the American League, Baltimore and Toronto lead the field, while the Giants and Mets lead their way in the National League. Don't forget again to visit the visit Flemington tomorrow and Saturday night for the last two nights of the Filling Station. Bring some friends and enjoy good beer, good wine, good food, along with your good friends. Well, as always, folks, it's been my pleasure joining you today for another edition of Taking Care of Business. I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better. And your better is best. As mentioned, if you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I am taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center.